Today, we grab our pens and paper and head to the galaxy to find an epic tavern, all before we can be framed. This and more on episode 135 of Indie Game Riots.
I am proud of you. Good first one.
Indie Game Riot!
Everybody, this is Josh, and I'm here with the one and only, well, not really the one and only, but the one that we have, Eric Hunter.
What's that mean? I am one and only.
We've discussed that there are other Eric Hunters out there.
But not other Eric M. Hunters.
And there probably are.
There are. There's many of us.
Yeah. So, you're not. You may be a snowflake, but you're not a snowflake.
Wipe my butt and pat me on the head and tell me I was special.
Was that, like, last week?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was last week. Are you jealous?
Yeah, I wish someone would wipe my ass. I'm tired of it.
Try to wipe in your own ass?
I can wipe my own ass.
Every time. The movie was terrible. People need to stop quoting.
I wasn't a huge fan
Big
of
Daddy.
It.
It was a garbage movie.
You know what? Out of those movies... This is going off track, but out of those movies that everyone hates from his... That I actually like is Little Nicky.
Oh, I like Little Nicky.
Okay, well, I'm glad because I think people are like, that's such a stupid movie. I laughed.
Oh, it is stupid. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's dumb.
I appreciated it. I think Anger Management might be my favorite.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that one's not too bad.
And then I'm talking like post 90s.
Post Happy Gilmore and. Billy Madison, yeah. Where he decided that he needed to actually be a legit actor if he wanted to make any money.
Apparently.
Yep.
So anyway, we are talking about Galaxy of Pen and Paper, Epic Tavern, Framed 2, talking about indies on consoles, but first, how has your week been?
It's been busy.
Yeah.
I'm now saddled with a lot of work now that I'm part of IGR. It's great. Again, pushing
pens. Yeah, as soon as you joined the team, I was just like, here's everything. I'm going to just sit here. Just
taking a huge dump on me. I don't see my wife and kids anymore.
Literally, I keep him in the basement.
Shackled.
The scene behind him is actually like a faux backdrop.
Right, it's a photograph that they blew up.
If you were to pan the camera down, you would just see his piss and shit bucket. You're going to get whipped.
No, it's been good. Work's been busy and working on videos and stuff for the site. So it's good.
Nice. I'm excited to see the thing. And because of this, we've talked about it before about doing like a weekly rundown kind of thing for indie games. And it was like one of our goals on Patreon. So now I'm going to find another goal for that tier. But anyway, because he's doing that, we don't need to fund it anymore. Because the whole point was like, well, we got to pay someone to have the time to do that.
Right.
But Eric said he's able to. So that's cool. Thank you, Eric.
Shouldn't be terrible.
You got to get some of your reviews up on there, too, that you've done.
Yeah, so I've decided that any review I do now is just going to go straight to the IGR.
Nice.
It just makes it easier. It's good.
The last one you did, I was thinking if you wanted to, we could put that up. Even though it was before you actually officially joined, but we could put it up.
Yeah, you can just change the bumpers if you want.
I don't mind it saying Eric. You know, I am Eric. We could to keep it on like on brand. We could just fade out onto the Indie Game Riot end card or something.
Sure.
Whatever. Anyway,
why not?
Meta stuff.
Business stuff.
Yeah, my week's been pretty busy. I was, again, with the last minute.
Oh, what have you been doing?
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for asking. I'm glad you cared enough.
Now that is a segue.
It's just been super busy with like appointments and stuff like that. I have like appointments for like 3 weeks straight on between kids and myself and my wife and all that stuff. And today, I had to take my son to the eye doctor.
Okay.
And he is apparently going to need glasses.
Okay.
I mean, I wear glasses. I don't know why I feel so bad about it. Because he's going to need them for the rest of his life, right? So, I mean, I for some reason, I just feel bad about it. Like, it's almost like he has, like, some sort of disability now. I don't know why I feel that way. It's weird. For me, the glasses are, like, a nuisance. I'm like, ugh, I wish...
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? And now he's going to have to deal with it for longer than I ever had to. I got mine in eighth grade. He's freaking 3 years old, you know? So I kind of feel, although he is actually excited because he doesn't really understand that his eyes are jacked, because he has astigmatism in both eyes.
Gotcha.
So, and apparently there's like this, I don't know, they call them steps, which I guess is like how they test for astigmatisms in kids. Because they can't do like normal eye tests and everything, so I have to do these special tests on them because they're too young. And apparently, like, if you score 3, then they start considering glasses for you. His one eye scored a 7, and his other eye scored a 12.
Damn.
I don't know how that is in comparison. Like, I don't know, like...
Sounds bad.
How big that range is, but I don't know. I just feel bad.
You're like, but look, I mean, you know, it's... Yeah. Let me just close out of that real quick.
It could be worse, because I've seen kids with, like, some Coke bottle glasses at that age. He's just going to need some regular glasses.
Right. Well, I mean, and then when he gets older, he can get contacts if he wants, if he feels... I mean, I've been wearing glasses and contacts since I was, like, in the sixth grade, so, I mean, it's... Yeah.
I can't wear contacts personally because I have small eyes, apparently.
Of all the things.
Yeah, well,
so what
I
makes
really,
you stand out and unique? I've got really small eyes.
I have a really hard time getting contacts into my eyes. And the doctor even says, like, I don't know if that's going to work for you because you have small eyes. He was kind of a dick, too, and he was mad because I couldn't do the eye puff test where they blow air in your eye. Glaucoma, whatever that does. And I hate... That's the other problem, is that even if I had big enough eyes, I hate things going near my eyeball.
Right.
It just bothers me. It's like, ugh, I don't like it. People that can touch their eye, I'm like, ugh. So, but he has nice, big,
round.
He got his eyes from my wife, so he'll be able to do it fine.
Good. Gets older. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
What are you shaking your head for?
No, I just think it's funny.
Why do you think it's funny? I have small eyes?
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, the other thing
I didn't know that could be a thing.
The other thing too is, and I'm going to say something that's going to make you not look at me the same for the rest of your life, is if you didn't already know, is that I have very light colored eyebrows.
Okay.
So a lot of times it looks like I don't have eyebrows because they're so blonde.
Sure.
So the fact that I wear glasses actually kind of like frames my eyes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Since, you know, my eyebrows are so light colored. So it's actually kind of nice I have glasses, because when I take them off, they look different. Weird.
It's just riveting stuff.
Yeah. This is what Indie Game Riot's all about.
That's
man.
Right.
You know what else is riveting?
I already forgot what we were doing here.
Taking indie news injection.
Okay.
Are you bored with the same old games?
Yeah.
Why, then give yourself an Indie News injection.
Thanks, Indie Games.
This week on Indie News Injection, not a whole lot of news. We are going to talk about basically indie games on consoles. This would be news, because we're going to be talking about like what there's just a shit ton of games coming out for the Nintendo Switch. We call them Nindies. That is the term I've heard being...
They copyrighted it.
Slung, have they?
Yeah, that's TM'd, baby.
I don't blame them. And now we're going to have to pay them. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah. I totally forgot.
It's your fault. So, but that's the term that's being slung around as Nindies for games going under there. And a bunch of games coming out for there. The most notable, probably, Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing my job right here. There's
no?
the Nintendo Switch logo for you. And other than that, What other games have you been like, ooh, I'm going to get that on the Switch? Do you have a Switch?
So I do have a Switch, and there's a really good reason that I haven't played my Switch, and it's mainly because there are so many games on the Switch that I want to play. So it's...
You're for those...
Well, it's... I just don't have the money. It's a problem. So there's been a weird kind of lull in the release of the Switch. So when the Switch first came out, like, the only game to play was the new Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. That's what everybody was playing. And then they kept teasing, like, the new Mario game. And then a couple other games came out, and then there really wasn't anything to play except for a shitload of indie games. And a lot of them were kind of like rehashes. So you saw a lot of games that had been released either maybe on the Wii U or just on Steam or Humble Bundle or whatever you want to call them. And now they're seeing kind of a resurgence on the Nintendo Switch with, like...
It seems like, from what I've heard from devs, is that the Nintendo has finally made it easy to port to the Switch. Because it used to be, I guess, a pain in the ass for the Wii and the Wii U.
Yep.
And they finally made it user-friendly. And they've been very supportive, I guess, recently. Because it seemed like for a long time that Nintendo just used to be like, you're an indie? Why don't you suck on our ass and fuck off?
Weird.
Basically.
So it's always... So their submission process is, like, super streamlined, and they actually have, like, a whole department now that's dedicated to kind of helping out indie developers port their game onto the Switch. The Switch is basically backwards compatible with Unity. So it, like, runs Unity 3D out of the box. So if your game is built on Unity or any form of Unity or C Sharp? Is that Unity? C Sharp?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Is Unity.
Then, like, the Switch is, you know, it's, you flip a switch. Oh! It's ready to go. But it's seen, I'm just, like, slowly going through the list right now.
Well, I noticed Flame in the Flood.
Flame in the Flood, yep.
Good one.
Spelunky's on there. Yep. The party
what
version.
What the fuck is that?
It's the
old... I have not heard of that.
It's the old / new version that Spelunky was originally based on.
That's...
like
the
way back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Party Golf is coming out next week.
I see Rhyme.
Rhyme's coming out. What was the other big one that was announced?
Lumo is pretty decent too.
What's his name? Mutant Muds. That's that dev is bringing out his games. But it's got Cave Story on it. It's got Sonic Mania, which some consider to be an indie game. I think I would. I would. No, you don't think so?
No.
Golf Story's on there. You've got McMillan's game, Edmund McMillan.
The new one or
both? Binding yeah, it's Isaac. Got Binding of Isaac, The Afterbirth Plus, and it has what's his new one called? The Super Meat Boy 2.0?
No, 2.5 something.
It's a third.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. So it's interesting. Because to me, you know, having a 1-year-old and never really having time to sit down in front of a TV or my computer to play games, but having something that's portable that I can play games on, like I am going to rebuy games that I have already purchased on Steam just so I can have it portable with my Switch to play. Mm-hmm. Just so I can play those games again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got Cave Story, but I would love to play Cave Story again, especially in a handheld. So...
I think that's probably the biggest thing is people like it on the handheld. I mean, you can go take a shit and play your indie game, right?
Why not?
Oh, I mean, I would. My legs would fall off from going numb if I were to go take a shit and play.
Because you'd just be sitting there.
Yeah, I'd spend so much time. A lot of stuff coming out for Nintendo Switch. I wanted to know for discussion. I want to know your thoughts on how indies have been growing on consoles recently. Xbox, even though they shut down Xbox Live Arcade, has been seeming to make a push to publish more indies. And you know, they still, outside of publishing, they're still accepting indies on their store. PS4, right. PlayStation Network obviously has a ton of indies on their platform. What's your take on that? Do you think? Because it used to seem like consoles were resistant to indie games, and right. now they were like, oh shit, we can actually make money.
Well, so it was a quality thing, right? They were worried about the quality of the game,
and yet there's some utter garbage that is on the marketplace, especially on PlayStation. We talked about that. I forget if you were on that show or not, but we talked about that a few weeks ago. It was like a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah, it's it's because I think I had mentioned it before, but Sony and their PlayStation Marketplace, they have no sort of early access or beta program. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like they're charging full pop for games that are still in beta access.
Well, it seems what it seems like is that they don't have a barrier for shit. It's just you.
You mean
as
like
long
in terms
as you
of
can,
like curation?
Yeah, curation. As long as you can afford the fee, which is what $2,500 or something. As long as you can afford the fee, which I guess in itself would keep out a lot of shovelware, but at the same time, they've featured on their YouTube channel games that were just almost unplayable. That's how trashy they were.
Right.
So, I don't know. Do you think that is just? And you, this could be different for different companies, but do you think that they're just trying to cash in, or do you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, they're trying to cash in on the quote unquote craze. Because I honestly think that they don't see the indie gaming community as being a foothold. I don't think they see it as it being on solid ground. I think when they decided to put Super Meat Boy and Braid and saw what the return on investment was, and they were like, okay, there's a viable market here, but we need to be cautious because we want to make sure we don't taint the marketplace. We don't want to taint the name of Microsoft, you know?
Yeah,
because there is a lot of shovelware and shit out there. I think what they're doing now is they're doing two things. Microsoft specifically. What I think they're trying to do is they're trying to find games that will turn big profits quickly, and then they're going to take those developers and then just meld them into Microsoft or to whatever second party they want to push them
off
to.
So you think Studio MDHR, who made Cuphead, you think they're going to try and recruit them into Microsoft? And that's another thing, interestingly, especially since Microsoft makes their own games as well, which I guess Sony kind of does because, I mean, Naughty Dog is almost like that, essentially.
It's like a second party to Sony.
Yeah. But it's interesting because a lot of larger developers / publishers do that too with Ubisoft made Valiant Hearts. And Square Enix did that one. I can't think of things. The stupid.
Describe the game.
The girl that takes pictures.
Life is Strange.
Yeah, Life is Strange. Thank you. Those are technically indie, but not really because...
Right, so that's what they're going to do. Is they're going to take these developers and they're going to spin them off into these tight 10 to 15 group teams, and they're going to give them $500,000 and say, make something that can quadruple this number.
Make Cuphead 2.
12 months, yeah. Well, no, Cuphead 2 will just go to some no-name development team that just churns out shit because all they're going to do is take all of those assets and just recreate everything and make it harder and make things just a little bit different. They're just going to keep pumping out sequels.
I'll probably make it easier. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, yeah.
So, by the way, I was watching some of that gameplay on Inevitory's channel last night because I don't know if I mentioned that live on here. For those who listen, recorded version, Inevitory's in our chat. He streams. Anyway, I was watching that gameplay and that shit is rough. We talked about how hard that was. Holy damn!
It's a hard game.
Some of those bosses. There's this one that's in a junkyard with a robot. I don't think he ever beat that yet. I don't know. There was kind of a discussion going on in his chat about how it's just not for certain people. But at the same time, but again, we mentioned, and not to go into it because we talked about this last week, but like the whole simple mode bullshit.
Well, it becomes one of those things where it's like, man, have you played Cuphead? And they're like, yeah, I heard it's really hard. Like, no, you need to play it. You need to know how hard it is. I mean, they're going to get sales just because of that, you know?
Yeah, Dark Souls type thing.
Right.
So with Nintendo, I mean, okay, so they're cashing in, but it seems like Nintendo is at least going about this the right way. They kind of like ease themselves into it with the Switch, starting with like snipper clips.
Right.
Which is fantastic, by the way. Mm-hmm. But they ease themselves into it, but they're also doing it the right way as far as like supporting the devs and making it easy for them to develop for the Switch. Whereas we mentioned PlayStation just kind of like, hey, if you can afford us, sure, welcome on. I don't care about the quality of your game. I don't know. I have the least experience with Xbox. Excuse the drag race. But I have the least experience with the Xbox, so I don't know how it feels like their games are outside of like Cuphead, because that's the only one I've really, that's been exclusive to Xbox, I really gave a damn about, I think, recently.
Right.
So, do you think that they're at least kind of handling it well now, taking it in the right direction for indies? Do you think it's going to eventually die off and like their love, it will eventually turn to just indifference for indie developers, and they're gonna go back to their old
talking ways? About Microsoft or Nintendo,
anyone really.
I think Microsoft's gonna continue to do what they have been doing and what they do as a company, which is they find good talent and then they exploit it and then they burn and turn it. Nintendo's a different beast. So Nintendo, and I hear people complain about this shit all the time, where it's like Nintendo's never going to be, a viable option when it comes to console gaming, because the, you know, Microsoft and Sony and blah blah blah. It's like Nintendo is not a hardware manufacturer; they solely work on their own IPs. Like, they wouldn't exist as a company if they didn't have Zelda, if they didn't have Mario or Metroid or anything like that. So I feel that since they have that sort of mindset of, well, if we're going to sell consoles, we need to sell games, we need to sell our IPs, they want to find other games out there that fit that demographic of a Nintendo IP. And I feel like they're going to be a little bit more...
They kind of did that with Shovel Knight, because, I mean, Shovel Knight's been brought into the fold.
Shit, yeah. I mean, they when made you've a fucking got an Amiibo... Yeah, when you have an Amiibo, then Nintendo's, you know, they've got their arm around you, and you've pretty much got whatever you want. But, so Shovel Knight's a perfect example of that. Like, it's... If you go back and you play... Like, one of the things that Nintendo's great about is accessibility. And it's one of the things that I constantly talk about is... Building the game, not starting with what it looks like or what the story is, but how it plays, like how the connection between the person playing the game and the reaction on screen, that connection, that's now Nintendo builds games. Like when they were creating Mario 64, they didn't worry about the controller. They didn't worry about what Mario was going to look like. They wanted to know how he was going to feel on screen and how they could telegraph that to a controller. Then they built the game around it. And they have yet to let that idea go. Like, there's been some hiccups. Like, the one that comes up all the time is, like, Super Mario Sunshine, where it was like, okay, we've got 18 months to pump out this game, so let's pump it out.
A lot of people like that game, though.
Yeah, and people are idiots, Josh. But I feel that with Nintendo looking at these indie devs and these indie games, they're looking at it the exact same way. They are looking at developers who... are taking the accessibility as the forefront of creating their game, and they're seeing how attractive it is to a grander audience and not a specific audience, because they have that audience already. So they're trying to find more of that into a hold. I feel like at the end of the day, again, Nintendo will win out, because they realize that it's about the games. It's not about how many megapixels or how many polygons or how many, you know, dots per square inch and that kind of thing. It's all about the experience of playing the game, how much fun you have or how little fun do you have, and how connected you are to that game and to that IP, not about how you get there.
It's kind of interesting, because it felt like PlayStation was the first console to really embrace the indie game market. Aw, inhibitory was just timed out in chat. I really got to work on Nightbot. Sorry, man. It's not nothing personal. Nightbot's like kind of sensitive.
Nice.
Anyway, the what was I saying? Oh yeah, PlayStation was the first one to really take in indies as a marketplace. It seemed like to me, but they're also the ones that give the least shit about them at this point.
Well, and I think a lot of that. I think a lot of that's on the face of it too. Because if you look at
Or have there been any PlayStation exclusive indies? Like, I can't think of any. They're not actively going out.
Well, I mean, exclusive to just them? No. With the exception of what's that game that everybody loves that I haven't really played because I don't care to play it.
Which one?
The RPG that's based off of Earthbound. What's the name of that game?
Which one?
Right,
there are a lot of games that base themselves on Earthbound.
Oh my god, what is the name of it?
Well, why are you thinking of that? I wanted to bring up another point. And by the way, Inevitory earlier had said something about he felt the Wii U was an untapped gold mine.
Yes,
for indie games, and
absolutely,
it was, and that's the same reason
but
that
nobody was
Switch
playing
is,
Wii U, which it's kind of like.
Yeah, it was the same reason that Switch is a gold mine for indies, but yeah, no one played the Wii U, and they made it hard to develop for, so it was kind of a disappointment, but. They bounce back. The other thing, you would have thought that Nintendo would have been one of the first, if not the first, to embrace indies, because when you mentioned
Undertale,
like, that's not Earthbound.
Yeah, it is.
Undertale.
That's he.
Am I thinking of the wrong thing?
I don't. I mean, Undertale. Yeah. What's his? Toby Fox created. He basically started Earthbound or Undertale from an Earthbound mod.
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong thing.
You're thinking the wrong thing.
Probably.
It's okay.
But anyway. What I was saying is that, like, Pokemon. Because you mentioned, like, them working on only on their own IPs.
Right.
Pokemon was an indie. It was made.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Game Freak was an indie company.
Yeah.
That Nintendo was like, this is cool. Let's bring you in. And, you know, obviously that was back in the 90s. But it was the same thing. You know, they did that. And you'd have thought that now they're doing it with games like Shovel Knight and stuff like that. Obviously, it's not exclusive to Nintendo, but the point is that people
they
now
took it to the next level
with Nintendo.
They're not just releasing a game. They're
you would have thought that they would have been one of the first to do that because it just matches their whole style of brand.
I mean, I still feel like indie games haven't really peaked yet. I still feel like that's their, you know, at the end of the day, they're still an untapped market.
Will they peak?
Yeah, everything peaks. It's the rebound is what is going to be more interesting. So, like, Undertale's on PlayStation 4 and PS Vita. So, like, I know they went after Toby Fox and was like, hey, we want this game on our console. Because he swore up and down that there's no way this game would be ported. And I'm like, hey, just wait till somebody with enough money comes to you and says, hey, we want to port this. Then you're going to drop your pants.
They throw 6-7 figures at you.
Sure. Which is whatever.
Although the dude made 7 figures off of it.
Oh, I would hope so. Jesus. Yeah. Just the lore alone is worth the money.
I'm not a fan of the game, actually. I'm going to be honest.
I've never played it. I've watched people play it on like Let's Plays on YouTubes, and I've read a lot of like literature about it and a lot of just fan theories and stuff like that. And like I've had my fill.
I'm
like,
yeah, the fandom is a little obnoxious, but when I say I'm not a fan of it, like I don't. It's not that I don't acknowledge Toby Fox to be a good developer because he did that shit all by himself.
Yep. With a $2,000 Kickstarter,
and obviously it was successful. I just personally don't like the game. I don't. It's not my kind of thing. So, anyway, is there anything else that we wanted to mention for consoles and indies? Anything about?
I think as an indie developer, I don't think you can shy away from consoles. I don't think you should turn a blind eye to them. I think it's a viable marketplace.
There are some games that I don't like being ported to console. A lot of times for like Control,
sure,
because of control schemes. It's just there are some games that just do not do
yeah,
well
totally.
On consoles. So, you know, don't automatically throw your game onto a console, but definitely think about it. It's worth the investment, I would say. And a lot of times you can probably find someone to do the porting for you if you have trouble with that. Because I know a lot of people, that's the hard part is getting it over onto them.
Right.
So, speaking of getting over onto something, let's get over onto starting Riot. Huh? This week on Starting the Riot, we are talking about Galaxy of Pen and Paper by Behold Studios. If you don't know Galaxy of Pen and Paper, that's okay. It just released. However, you might know Knights of Pen and Paper, I think it was called.
Yes.
That they made, and I think they made a second one of that, too. This Plus is one. The same company. And the whole thing... What the fuck? Really? You gotta do some stupid shit on YouTube? Anyway... Whoever's YouTube, the guy whose YouTube video this is, put weird shit up on the screen. Anyway, the point is that you are playing a tabletop game without the tabletop. In this case, you're actually playing it through a computer on your computer. It's very meta like that. And you are a party of either humans, green man or green person, and another thing, because I didn't play that, the other race, so I forget what it is. And you essentially play like you would a tabletop RPG. You go through, you actually have a DM who's telling you the story. You go through different locations. You get quests and you can upgrade your abilities. You level up. And it's turn-based combat is what I'm trying to say. When you get into fights, you can respond to people different ways, just like you would in a tabletop RPG. Obviously, it's not as like open as an actual tabletop RPG, but it seems right. like a simplified version of it, which is pretty cool. So I'm assuming you played Knights of Pen and Paper since you...
Yes. Well, I've played D&D too, so it's...
Oh, yeah. We gotta play D&D sometime, Eric. Come on.
I mean, we can.
Yeah, we should do it.
Gonna do a Ghostbusters soon.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never played anything outside of, like, D&D.
Oh, really? There's... I mean, God, man, you can pick anything. There's a...
I wanted to play like Cthulhu stuff, but anyway.
We can talk later. I'm actually working on a world. So, So Knights of Pen and Paper, which I'm assuming is basically just this is going to be the sci-fi modern version of Knights, which was the fantasy D&D version of it. So, one of the things I really liked about the game was you can give pluses to your characters outside of the game by things that you do outside of the game. So one of them was like if you wear like a particular hat, your character in game can get a +1 for, you know, enduring the elements. Or so
in this case, because you mentioned that, in this case for Galic, you haven't played this one, right?
No, I have not.
Okay. In this one, it's not so much the hats, at least not as far as I've gotten. But you can get things that actually get put on the table, like on the desk there.
Yeah, like drinks or...
Like there's like a little statuette of the first boss that you encounter. And because of that, you can... It gives you more damage versus, I don't know, big people
Whatever.
Or something like that.
Fortitude. But
the whole point is... that. I personally enjoy the humor in the writing. It's not like super... I wouldn't say it's like making me roll on the ground laughing or anything like that, but
it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah, tongue in cheek, and it kind of it's interesting too because you mentioned things that happen outside of the actual like RPG that you're playing in the game because it gets meta. You're playing a game with a game in it,
right?
But it'll break that. Would you call it a fourth wall? Because it's not breaking the fourth wall with you necessarily, but it's breaking like the game.
It's the meta. It's meta.
Yeah, it's breaking the meta of the game, and it'll pop out, and like the guy, the DM's mom will like pop in every once in a while, like, "Hey, I made you food," that sort of thing.
Right. Or he'll give you tips like, "Hey, by the way, this one's susceptible to fire, but you didn't hear that from me." Blah blah blah.
Right. And there's like it's a little bit of satire when it comes to these tabletop games too. And it's when you're fighting some of the enemies or meeting the characters, they kind of like act stereotypically, but in a very self-aware way,
right?
Which is interesting in itself. The mechanic that I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I mean, it's not that I don't like it, but I don't know if I ever want to use it because I hate grinding. Is the fact that you can make a battle for yourself, an encounter for yourself at any point.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, if obviously there's quest lines that you go through. And there's different kinds of quests. There's a story quest. There's like these side quests where you can intercept spaceships for people, or you can go hunt down like a bounty hunter type mission, that sort of stuff. But then if you feel like you just want to start leveling up and grind, you can just anytime out of the characters that you've, out of the encounters that you've already had, just start putting in enemies. And you're seeing on screen now actually how, you know, you can add different kinds of enemies, and depending on what kind and how many that you put in, it raises the difficulty. The more that you put in, the more gold you might get, or XP. You might get some loot if you put it all the way up on the most difficulty, and you do get your ass kicked. You have to really think about how you're going to do that. A lot of the missions too, like, you need to defeat a certain amount of different kinds of enemies. So in this case, you might need to defeat two of those guys in the hood and one of those guys with, that are all tarry lava looking. But those lava guys are really hard, so you might not want to do it all at once because you might get your ass kicked. And if you lose and you start over your that particular encounter, and you also lose money because you have to go get healed and the money, you know, that you could use to buy items and upgrades or whatever. So you might need to split up that quest, the encounter, between like one tar guy and one guy in a hood, and then do the last one in a different encounter. So you can split them up like that to make it easier, but then you get less reward.
Interesting.
Is that different from Knights of Pen and Paper?
Man, I don't remember that feature being in the game or not.
I think I
just played the story mode.
I never got a chance to play the I did. I played Knights of Pen and Paper on mobile version, but that's a lot different from this.
Well, right.
Because it's the free version of it, so. But yeah.
The real question is going to be is if they flub the numbers, the DM flubs the numbers.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be the interesting thing. Because, like, there's more than a number, a handful of times where it's like, okay, like, the difficulty to do this is 17, but you rolled a 15, so you failed. But if you would have pulled it off, it would have been really cool for the story. So I'm going to flub it down to 15 to say you hit it, so we could just say you did something really badass. Like, that would be cool if there was some sort of, like, back-end mechanic built in so that...
But that would be cool, but I'm not sure if there's, like, the capability of doing something, like, worthwhile to make that happen, you know what I mean? Because, like, in a tabletop, you know, D&D or something like that, you do that... And
yeah, there's more role playing than just
yeah, and
dice.
There's it's much more open, so you can, like, literally anything can happen. Whereas this is like you fight back and forth. So I don't know if something cool in that sense would actually happen, where it would should get flubbed in that case for story's sake. But anyway,
interesting.
The other thing that's kind of weird to me is, I mean, I would assume that your party would grow past two characters.
It did in Knights. You'd meet people along the way, and then you would choose to bring them on or not to see if, like, because there was, at least from one of the characters in Knights, it was like, oh, this character's got a really high dexterity, so they're going to be really quick to attack, but they're also kind of lazy, so they might not just decide they don't want to attack. So it's like,
right.
Oh, man, do I really want to pick this guy up? Because, so, but yeah, I mean, I think I ended up with, like, a party of five at the end.
Party of five? Hunter?
Good show. It's a good show.
So I haven't gotten that far yet where I actually picked someone up. And I played for a while. So I'm not sure how long this game is. But I played for a decent amount of time, and I still haven't picked anyone up.
Ever.
And the other thing is, with the abilities, I feel like there's not enough. Because you only have, like, a certain amount of slots that you can put abilities in.
Right.
And to this point, I haven't found a reason to, like, switch out of from what I have. Because you purchase the ones that you want, and then you put them in, like, you have, like, two slots available. And you purchase the ones that you want, and you put them in there. But there's other ones that you could use, but they're not as good, but you could still use them on occasion, but there's not enough space to put them in there, so it's like, well, I'm not going to use them then. And it just never changes. I don't know if I haven't played far enough, obviously, since I haven't gotten to the point where I could expand my party or anything like that, but I don't know if there's an option to get more slots, but I wish there was. Like, I wish I had more options to do different stuff.
I would think that there would be. It'd be silly if there wasn't.
But I guess if you have more party members, then
You would just put those duties off to them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Each class has their own thing, but essentially, the point is, there's support, there's tank, there's that sort of thing. So,
right,
you could always just get something similar and have one of the characters responsible for it. So maybe that's the case. Anyway, Galaxy of Pen and Paper by Behold Studios is currently on Steam for... I'm on the wrong page.
I think it's $9.99.
That sounds right. Galaxy... Really? Of... Do it, Pen. Man. Of...
And...
$14.99. 15 bucks.
Gotcha.
On Steam for Windows and Mac. So, no Linux. Sorry. There is actually a bundle that you can get for... You get 10% off overall. And it's only a couple dollars more. $16.18. And you get Galaxy of Pen and Paper plus Knights of Pen and Paper and Knights of Pen and Paper 2. So actually, I would highly suggest getting that bundle for only a couple dollars more. That's
not bad. Yeah.
What else is not bad, Eric?
Is it the Peep Show?
Going to the Peep Show.
Please give all your attention to Early Access.
This week on Peep Show, we're talking about Epic Tavern. Epic Tavern is by Hyperkinetic Studios. It is a sim management type of game, where a tycoonish type of game. Basically, you are put in charge of this tavern after your parents have perished years ago, saving the world. And this used to be their tavern where you used to base their shit out of. You eventually, as you get to be an adult, you get the tavern, and it is your job to renew its former glory by appeasing patrons, recruiting some of them to be heroes, going out on quests for you, getting money and whatnot to upgrade your tavern. It isn't early access, so some things are just not available yet. Obviously, and there might be some bugs, there might be some assets that just aren't completely finished yet. But I like the idea of it, and I played some of it, as much as I could, because like I said, there are some things that are just not implemented yet for since it is early access. But right before this, you were talking about management games. Obviously, this is not like an Excel spreadsheet simulator like what you were talking
about. Sure.
But how do you feel about this type of genre?
Ah, man, it's not for me. It's just, I don't know. I always get, I feel like if I'm not kind of on a linear path to do something from start to finish, where there's a definite end, then I don't know. It's the same thing with some city games or Roller Coaster Tycoon or
you don't like the creative aspect of this?
No, I don't. I feel like if I wanted to create something, I could create something and be happy with it. I don't want to do that with a video game.
You know, like Minecraft?
I've never played Minecraft.
Really?
So, and I probably never will.
The last person on Earth to not play Minecraft.
There's no game there to me. It's do whatever you want. That's the game. I'm like, yeah, that's not a game to me. I just go outside and do whatever I want. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want now.
Can you, though?
For the most part, I feel.
I mean, I guess you have the choice to do whatever you want, but can you really? Anyway.
So, unless if I'm reading this incorrectly, kind of the whole idea is that you send people off to go do stuff, and then they come back to tell that grand story?
Well, they don't just go off and do stuff. When you send a party out to complete quests, because the other thing that you do as you talk to the patrons is that they will give you these quests. Like the first thing that you do is to clear out rats, because that's like the first thing you do.
That's
like
usually what you do in an RPG.
Obligatory, yeah. And they point that out, by the way. It's not like they're, you know, they're being...
It's on the nose.
Yeah, they're being on the nose about it on purpose. But anyway, you actually, you gather your party, you equip them or whatever, you level them up, and then you send them out on these quests, and they'll actually, it's more of a calculated risk type of game, because there's a lot of random dice rolls involved.
Right.
So it's like, oh, this is a percentage, you have a percentage, this percentage of succeeding or failing. And then based on that information, you let them do whatever you want them to do. But you actually are watching them go through the quest. Not like, it's not like an animated thing where like you're actually seeing. I gotta sneeze again.
Beautiful. Quality shit right here, everybody.
Sorry about that. Allergies, man. But you're seeing it kind of like on a not a HUD. Why can't I think of anything? I can't. Man, my mind is broken.
The UI.
UI.
There's a story log.
Kind of like how you're seeing on screen now in the tavern, but in this case, it's on a map, and you'll see them progress through the mission. And it'll give you updates like, this is what happened. Here's an encounter. Here's a trap that you. And you can, again, based on the percentages, like your different heroes have different abilities or different strengths and weaknesses. So you might, they found a trap. So you would choose the adventurer who has the best
trapping stat, ability, yeah.
The best stat to overcome that obstacle, that sort of thing. You know, same thing with creatures that you might come across and all that sort of stuff. And at the end, you get your rewards, you get your XP, come back, level up your people, you get funding for the tavern, you upgrade it. And that's the other part. I mentioned before this segment started, like, I'm into the statistics in games and stuff like that. I'm weird like that. I used to, when I was a little kid, I used to take all the encyclopedias off the shelf and then reorganize them. I did the same shit with like baseball cards and like Pokemon cards. Like, I just, like, I'm into like that kind of weird, I don't know how to say it, but anyway,
you're a nerd.
Yeah. And I was into that sort of thing, so it hits home for me that way. But also, I like the whole idea of there's a lot of games where it's like tycoon games where you expand and upgrade your own little place, and you kind of grow it how you want, make it how you want to look,
yeah.
And manage it how you want. And I don't know what that says about me, how I like to play like these god games or managing games where I like to lord over everything, but I like it. And I'm surprised you don't either in that way. To be honest, like you strike me with the personality that someone who would like to manage and then control like how it all looks and works.
Oh,
and flows. Make it efficient.
I mean, I do that for my job.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that when I get home.
But like, you have less control there because you're not like the CEO. You're just the manager.
No. True.
This is like you can do whatever.
I think a lot of these games for me, what the problem is the learning curve on a game like this. Since I'm not very familiar with it, like the learning curve for a game like this to me is extremely steep, mm-hmm. and that's daunting to me. So a lot of the time it's like if I watch a video or I'll play a game for like 10 minutes and realize that like, wow, I don't understand any of this stuff and this tutorial is trash, I'm just gonna turn it off.
I don't know if I would say this is like
really, if there was a cool, if there was like a good entry level, like here's a baby's toy, Eric, go play with this baby's toy to get you into like these kind of simulated management games, I'd play that. I like playing with baby toys.
I wouldn't say this has a high difficulty curve. It's more just,
I don't know, man. There's a lot of access. Shit on screen now. Like, look at all the shit. Like,
well, being early access, I don't know if they have a fully fleshed out demo. It throws you into this like intro sequence, but it's all like, I don't know if it's, I'm pretty sure it's pre-scripted, so you just kind of like, and that's how it shows you.
Kind of just goes with it.
Yeah, it shows you like, this is what's happening, and you just kind of like, as it's going, you're like, oh, I see. But it doesn't actually tell you what to do.
Like, what is this at the bottom here? The final profit? What's a profit?
You're fucking with me.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I almost went for that.
That's good.
They do give you a little bit of a tutorial as you're going, once you're in the tavern aspect of it, as far as like how to get new quests and recruit people. But again, I think it's all going to get fine-tuned as early access goes. So, and this on Steam, which was the page I was previously on, is currently going for on early access. Where the hell's the price?
Where's the price?
Is it not going to give me the price?
If it's an early access, there probably is no price.
There should be a price.
$24.99.
$24.99, which actually, I always hate saying like that might be too much, because I mean a lot of time and resources go into making a game, but for early access, in my mind, especially one that's not fully fleshed, like I said, there's things that are just straight up missing from this.
Right.
Like if you click on it, it's like come back later, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe don't have the price up the whole way. You can gradually increase it as you include stuff, maybe. But anyway, that's just my.
I think go either way about it.
Interestingly, this is. Reviews on this are
more
69%, which is weird to me. But I mean,
it's still in early access, which a lot of these are.
Yeah,
a lot of these complaints are not a lot of game to be had. Great potential. Everything is under construction.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, and you know it's going to be worked on, and it's obvious that it's not the finished product, whatever you're complaining about.
Sure.
Why even bother putting a negative review on it?
Because people are idiots.
Yeah. So I think in this case the reviews might be a little bit skewed.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I trust me. Trust Eric. Give Epic Tavern a chance.
I did not say that.
Well.
I'll tell you what, though. It's on my wish list. It's all on my wish list.
I'm putting words in your mouth.
That's... You need to quit putting things in my mouth.
Well, stop enjoying it so much.
Stop opening your mouth.
Any last words on Epic Tavern?
It's okay if games aren't for you. It doesn't mean that they're bad.
Yeah. Just like Hades. Did I do it right? I don't think I did it right. But you know what else we're going to do right?
We're going mobile.
Going mobile.
Oh. Huh?
This time on Going Mobile, we're getting framed twice. Framed is a... Framed 2, actually, is the sequel to the game Framed.
Prequel.
Is it a prequel?
It's a prequel, according to the website.
Interesting. It's an interesting kind of puzzle comic book style game where you're presented with cells, like a comic strip is, and you have to rearrange the cells that run from left to right so that the protagonist can make it through all the obstacles and traps that are in the way. My favorite part about the first one anyway, is that everything has an outcome, whether it be positive or negative. So regardless if you can mess it up, you know, 6 times in a row, there's always a an outcome. There's always an animated outcome to the way that you've set up the cells, which I thought is pretty ingenious. So it's got a very good look to it. It's kind of that film noir, black silhouettes.
I like the sneaking animations. Very
cartoony.
You just hear the doom, 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 doom as it walks.
Yeah, it's one of those games where when you play it, you're like, yes, this is a mobile game. This game should be on mobile. This is exactly why you have this touchscreen environment for this game right here. Boom. So, in my opinion, anyway. There's actually very few of those games.
So, one thing that might drive me nuts with this is if you get it wrong, which I'm sure
you have to start it all over again.
And it seems like it's slow.
Yeah.
Which would probably be annoying.
In the first one, there is like a quick button that you can just kind of do a replay on. That'll kind of refresh everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it can be kind of daunting at times, especially if, because like in the first one anyway, there was one of the puzzles, it was, there was 12, 14 different frames. So I mean, if you do the math, that's what it's a lot of combinations.
Well, how's the logic in the puzzles? Like when you look at it, is it obviously there needs to be challenge, but is it like,
right,
when you see the solution, you're like, oh, I get it, or is it like I just randomly put shit together and got lucky?
So my biggest problem ran into the angle. So obviously they're different cells of a comic strip, so the angle of the cells can be different. Trying to figure out what the angle is from going from one cell to another, like there was one puzzle in particular where you were running down basically a series of hallways, and you're just essentially either trying to creep up behind the police to either knock them out or to take their gun or something silly like that, or just to avoid them completely. So the angle of the cell, the shot of it, was completely different from any of the other ones. So trying to figure out if he was going to be going left to right or from front to back or back to front, that to me is the most challenging part, because it's, you're not, there's no real way to figure it out. Like, it's trial and error. So hopefully they may have would have fixed that with the sequel, prequel.
Okay. Yeah, there definitely needs to be some sort of way to like skip through it. I think that would be my main concern.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the concept. It's unique for a puzzler, in a sense. Like, obviously, like moving windows around isn't necessarily original, but how it's presented in this way, with the comic book like action animation type thing, it's pretty
right.
cool.
Yeah.
So, good job on Love Shack. I think it's $3.
So, on the Apple Store, it's on sale right now for $1.99. It's normally $4.99.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, okay.
I think on Android it's cheaper, though, right? I think it's $3 on Android.
You're cheaper on Android.
Android's always cheaper. I'm surprised it's not free on Android, to be honest. A lot of games like you have to pay for on iOS but are free on Android.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I'd have to pull it back up.
We discussed that a long time ago. It has to do with the demographic. Like, people that have Android are less willing to pay, whereas iOS people tend to have more money and are willing to pay for games.
So on the Google Play Store, it is $4.99.
Oh, it is $4.99.
Okay. On the Apple, ooh, weird. Nope, $4.99 as well.
All right.
So it's same cost. So I was wrong. What the $1.99? Oh, launch $1.99 launch sale. So that doesn't make any sense. On their website, it says it's a $1.99 launch sale. Whatever the hell that means.
Okay.
It's all lies. It's all lies.
Well, you know what's not a lie?
Saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye, because it is the end of the show.
It is.
If you enjoy the show, you want to help us grow, want to help us help indies, please consider going to patreon.com/indiegameriot and giving us on a monthly basis, anywhere from $1 on to however much you want to give to us every month. It supports the show, and as well as IRX. You can get different upgrades, work on it full time, provide more content. Which we're gonna, with Eric now on the team, we're gonna be seeing more of, hopefully, and appreciate it. I always suggest like $5 a month, because all that is one expensive coffee that you have to sacrifice. Anyway, other ways that you can talk to us, you can suggest news, games to feature, people to interview, that sort of stuff. You can email us, contact@indiegameriot.com. You can also go to Twitter @IGRPodcast or facebook.com/IGRPodcast. By the way, Eric now has an official Indie Game Riot email.
To send me all those dick pics.
You can send it to Eric@IndieGameRiot.com. Pretty simple. So we'll get you those business cards, baby.
Oh.
Start handing them out all around town.
There you go.
All right. I think that is it. Any last words?
Keep on gaming.
Well said. Well said. I don't have any words. I'm a broken man right now.
Keep on gaming.
Anyway, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Doodles.